Johnny. Thank you, Erica. What a beautiful passage.
Yes.
And I know we've been here for a while, and I know it's getting a little late, and I know you're getting a little hungry, but that's okay. You're going to have to bear with me because God spoke very clearly to me about 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. I've written songs in the past, and it seems like most of my writing would come in the middle of the night. And many times when I try to preach or I try to prepare a sermon, a lot of times it's like I don't have anything. And next thing I know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm awake, and I'm laying there, and I'm praying. And God will say, this is it. And there's a message that God has for all of us today. And God has laid it on my heart. And I trust that if you're a visitor and you don't have a home church, come and join us. We're in the middle of the Gospel of John. We just finished chapter 4. We're going to be in chapter 5 in 2 weeks after we get through the Easter week. John is such a glorious book. It's wonderful. But you come and join us. God is really moving. But today, you know, we're at homecoming. Homecomings are fun. Homecomings, we have special guests that come in to sing, and you don't have to listen to the pastor try to lead music for a Sunday. And you got all the good stuff, and you got good food, and you got old friends, and you get to catch up with people, and it's a great time. Football teams, right? Our high schools in the fall, they have homecoming for their football game, and they'll have a basketball homecoming. Families will have homecomings. We typically call them what? Family reunions. And they're great and they're wonderful. You see people you haven't seen in a long time. You get to catch up on life. You get to talk about good things in your life. You get to embarrass the teenagers as you say, oh, wow, have you grown? And you get to pat them on the head and they're like, oh, would you just know? Right? We get to do all the great and the wonderful stuff. And they're great. And I love homecoming. And you know, in Israel, the Old Testament, they had homecomings too. They didn't call them that. But at certain critical junctures in their history, usually like in a change of government or a change of a leader or a new thing, the leader would call the nation together. And they would gather from all over the country. And they would come and listen as either the new leader or the old leader or the priest or whoever it was would speak to the nation. We saw it when Solomon dedicated the temple. We saw it when Nehemiah and Ezra rebuilt the temple. We saw Moses give speeches. And as I thought about today, God brought to mind a very famous passage of a homecoming that the nation of Israel had, and it takes place in Joshua chapters 23 and 24, and we're going to be there, and we have a few verses that we'll look at and we'll read, and if you want to turn there, you're welcome to. But in Joshua 23 and 24, Joshua is 110 years old. He didn't take over the leadership of the nation of Israel until he was in his 70s. So for those of you that are younger than 70, you got a lot more to do. For those of you that are older than 70 and you think your life is over, it is certainly not. Moses didn't start till he was 80, by the way. But anyway, Joshua's at the end of his life, and he says, I'm about to go to the way of the earth. For about 35 to 40 years, he had been leading the nation of Israel as they conquered Canaan. And for about 40 years before that, he was number two to Moses as Moses led them through the desert and through the wilderness. So he'd been around a long time, and he had seen a lot of things. And he calls the nation of Israel together. He says, it's my time to go, but I got some words that I want to tell you. And he starts to recount the history of Israel. And you see this over and over and over again, especially in the Old Testament. The leaders would come up, and they would always start recounting the histories. And he started back at Terah, the father of Abraham, and he began to move through their history pretty quickly. And we do this because it's important to remember our history. It is important to take time to look into the past to see how God has blessed you. And he talked about how God had blessed them down throughout the years and how God had blessed them throughout their 40 years of the wilderness wandering and then their another 40 years or so of conquering the land of Canaan. And he reminded them of their past. And he reminded them of their history. But he didn't stop there. Because wise leaders know and wise people know, people that pay attention, they know this, that your past does not determine your future. If you've had a great and wonderful past and God has been blessing you, that is no guarantee that you're going to have a great and wonderful future and that God is going to bless you in the future. And conversely, it's true also. If you've had a bad past, if you haven't lived for God a day in your life, If your life has been terrible and it's been horrible and it's been destructive, and you think it's always going to be this way, I'm here to tell you that your past doesn't determine your future either. And here's the other thing. Your hopes, they don't determine your future. Your dreams, your desires, they don't determine your future. Your plans do not determine your future. You know what determines your future? The choice you make in the present. You can have the best plans laid out. You can have all the hopes and dreams and intentions you want. But unless you make good choices, you will not see good results. But yet we tend to think that I can make a choice to live apart from God and that God is going to somehow bless me in spite of my bad choices. And this is what Joshua is trying to warn the nation of Israel about in Joshua chapter 24. When he gets down to the end of his recitation of their history, he says this. He says, God tells the nation of Israel, through Joshua, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Joshua says, we are now living in a time of peace. You're living in homes that you didn't build and pay for. That's pretty good because I had a house built and I'm still paying for it. I may never get the thing paid off. I'd love it. He says, you're eating food from crops that you didn't plant. You're living in cities that you didn't build. God has blessed you, Israel, mightily. And everybody in Israel's like, amen. Glory to God. He has given us peace. We have got it great. But then he tells them this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, number one. Serve him and in sincerity, number two. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, Israel, you're sitting on the fence. And some of them were. Some of them were hanging on to the gods of the past. Some of them had started to drift into the gods of the land in which they had moved. But many of them were starting to hold on to the temporary things of this world. And they were sacrificing the eternal for the temporary. He says, and you guys need to get off the fence. He says, you need to fear the Lord or have respect and honor God because God's ways are better than your ways. You need to choose to serve him. And he doesn't mean serve as in we think of someone serving us by waiting tables. He means to serve God by living according to his plans and according to his laws and according to his rules and doing the things that God wants you to do, not the things that I want to do. And he says, you got to do one more thing. You got to get rid of that stuff that's keeping you from God. You got to put away the things that you think are more important than God. And you got to put away the things that you think are more important than going to church. I'm here to tell you. He says, you have got to make a choice today. And he said, but we're serving God. Now, he had kids. He had grandkids. He probably had great grandkids in his presence. He said, I'm making a choice for my family. I've been leading my family for 80 years to serve God, and we're going to keep on going. He says, you got a choice to make. And the nation of Israel, they're like, yay, we love God. We're going to serve God. We're going to follow God. And they have this dialogue back and forth. But there was something about the way they said it that Joshua was like, I think that's a lot of lip service. Because you know what Joshua said to them? You can't serve God. I don't know that I could say that to somebody because I'd be afraid that they'd turn around and walk off. Because I just discouraged him so badly. He says, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. And he is a jealous God. And he will not forgive your transgressions and sins. Now, Joshua is not teaching us that God doesn't forgive sins. We know that God forgives all sins. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. But he's telling the nation of Israel, in this moment, God's not going to forgive you because you haven't repented of your sins. God is holy and righteous. And when God calls us to follow him, he calls us to live holy and righteous. Not perfect. I wish we could live perfect. But everybody knows we got problems in this world because we live in a broken world. But we are called to follow God and live holy and righteous, and he is a jealous God. God says, nuh-uh, don't go out throughout the week and pretend, and then go out and take this thing and that thing and that thing and him and her or whatever it is and make that your God during the week and then come pretend like I'm your God on Sunday morning. God is a jealous God. God wants your worship above all things. He says, you guys have got to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve that temporary thing that you're so fascinated with? Are you going to keep pouring all your time and money and energy into something that's going to be rusted out or dusty or whatever? Or are you going to put your time and energy and your money into serving eternal things? And they go back and forth and back and forth. And they finally say, no, we promise. We mean it. We're going to serve God. And Joshua says, okay, you've made a choice. And your choices determine your future, not your past, not your hopes, not your dreams, not your desires, your choices. But choices without commitment isn't really a choice. Because he tells them this down later in the passage. He says, therefore, after they convinced him, you're right, Joshua, we need to serve God. He says, first, you got to put away the foreign gods which are among you. First thing you got to do is get rid of the other gods in your life. First thing you got to do is get rid of the things in your life that you're putting before God. And then he says this, and incline your heart to the Lord. Incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. God wants your heart. God knows you've made mistakes in the past. God knows you're going to make mistakes probably today. There's a good chance I'm going to make a mistake before we even get out of this building today. God knows that you're going to stumble and fall in the future. God knows you better than you know yourself. And God says, I want your heart. Because God knows this, that if God has your heart, and you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, which is the first commandment, correct? If you love God with all of your heart, the rest of stuff will come into line eventually. Maybe not all at once, but you'll get there eventually. He says, so you got to put away that stuff that's more important to you than God, and then you got to love God with all your heart. And they said, you're right. We will. And then here's what else they did. So, you've made a choice. You've decided you want to serve God. Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. And he wrote it down, and they signed it. He made a covenant, and he made for them a statute, or that's a law, and an ordinance in Shechem. That's the town that where they were. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And you and I are reading these words today. He wrote them down in the book we call Joshua. And we're reading about it thousands of years later. And he took a large stone, and he set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. Joshua says, all right, you're telling me you're choosing to serve God. You made your choice. Now you got to make a commitment. And they wrote it down. And then they set up a monument, and they set up a stone, and they did this all throughout the Old Testament. They would set up monuments so that you could come back and say, the son would go, Dad, what's that all about? Well, son, this is where I made a commitment to follow God forever. Son, this is where God did something amazing and wonderful in my life. Or son, this is where God did whatever God did. And this is a reminder to me that I made a commitment on that day. So he says, you got to make a choice. And then you got to make a commitment. And then you got to change. Oh, and everybody's like, I don't want to change. Change is hard. Change is difficult. Change means we're stepping into the unknown. And when we step into the unknown, our fear kicks in. And when our fear kicks in, it threatens to overcome our faith. But when we follow Jesus and we put our faith in Jesus, Jesus will lead us to a place of overwhelming faith that conquers all of our fears. But it starts when we make a choice to follow Him. And then we make a commitment. And we make a change. And then when you make a change in direction, that's when you see a change in your destination. You can make all the intentions you want, but until your change of direction takes place, you will never get anywhere different. And too often, we simply want to say, tomorrow I'll do it, or I'll change later. And the choice becomes lip service. But what does God want? He wants your heart. And so for us today, we have choices to make. And Joshua ends kind of like this. It says, Israel served the Lord how long? All the days of Joshua? All the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. While Joshua was around, he said, we're going to serve God, because Joshua was a man of God and Joshua was a leader. And then the generation following Joshua, they'd seen the works of God. They had heard Joshua and they followed Joshua and probably the grandchildren. And we closed the book of Joshua. But then when we open the book of Judges, we see something tragic begin to happen. The generations that came to follow, they didn't know so much about God, and they weren't so inclined to God, and they began to drift back over into the ways of the world. And the future that Joshua predicted for Israel happened. He says, if you serve God, God's going to bless you. It's going to go well. If you don't serve God, it's not going to be good. And when they drifted off into sin, God punished them, and then that generation would repent, and there'd be revival, and they'd start serving God, and life would get good. But then the following generation would drift off, and then here we'd go at the cycle over and over and over again all throughout the Old Testament. So for you and I, who are you going to serve today? What choices are you going to make? Or are you going to put off the choice? And by putting off the choice, you've just made a choice. Choose today whom you're going to serve. I promise you this. I guarantee you this. You choose to serve God, you'll still have hard days. You choose to serve God, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. You choose to serve God, and it won't always be easy. I wish it were, don't you? Don't you wish that the day you got saved and promised to serve God, that God, okay, all right, I'm going to clear the path in front of you, and it's going to be great and grand and glorious till you get to heaven. But that's not how it works, because we live in a broken world and we live in a sinful world. And in this world, Jesus says you're going to have trouble. But I still choose to serve God, because His ways are best. And even when days are dark, and even when times are tough, and even when the path is long and I'm struggling and I'm hurting, there's something amazing about God who brings a sense of peace into my life that I cannot explain to you. It is very personal and it is very deep, but it is very real. And so as we close, I have one last choice to talk about. And Thomas, if you'll get ready that song, we'll have an invitation here in just a moment. The most important choice a person will ever make doesn't affect them for this life only. It affects them for all of eternity. The most important choice you will ever make is to choose to follow Jesus. If there's never been a moment in your life where you've made a choice to follow Jesus, I pray that today that you will make that choice. See, the Bible teaches, and we all know this, that we're all sinners. We're all rule breakers. We all break this rule or that rule, the government rule or the school rule or whatever rule. Oh, goodness, we all break our own rules. Don't you ever make up rules that you need to follow and then you break the rule that you just made? Aren't we all just broken people? We are all broken people. And because we're broken and because we're sinners, it says we are born in our trespasses and our sins, and we are dead and we're on our way to hell, because when this body passes away, your soul lives on for eternity. And you're going to spend one of two places. You're going to spend it in the presence of God, which we call heaven, or you're going to spend it in the presence of Satan, which we call hell. And it all depended on that choice you make about Jesus Christ. But the good news is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, would be saved. And it's a very simple thing. It's not complicated. It's a simple heartfelt prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. I pray that if there's anyone here who's never made that choice to follow Jesus, that you will pray this simple prayer. God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I'm a rule breaker. I'm lost without you, and I'm in need of a Savior. I do believe that the cross and that Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for my sins. And I believe that his resurrection is proof that he had power over sin and power over death, and it proves that he is God who he claims to be. Amen. Dear Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to follow you. Dear Jesus, will you save me? Amen. You make that choice, then you make that commitment, and then Jesus will begin to make the change. Amen. See, here's the thing. You don't have to clean up before you come to church. You don't have to clean up before you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, and he takes care of it. You start following Jesus, and you start making the right choices. A year from now, you'll look back and go, I don't even recognize myself. I got some friends that I mentor, and they say, you don't get clean before you get in the shower. You get in the shower to get clean. Come to Jesus, and he'll heal you. He'll heal that broken heart. He'll heal that struggle. He'll heal that addiction. Whatever you're struggling with. But here's the thing. You have a choice to make. Let's bow our heads.